Good day, students. Welcome to our today's teaching on e-learning. I am teaching from All Saints Secondary School, and I'm going to teach SS2 government. Our today's topic is a continuation of the one we started last week. We are on pre-colonial political administration in the three major tribes of Nigeria, that is the Igbo, the Hausa, and the Yoruba. Last week we treated that of the Hausa. We saw how the Hausa states were overtaken by the Fulani Emirates, and after the Jihad War, the Emirate system was introduced, which is still in place till now. But today we are going to talk about the pre-colonial political administration in Igbo land. Okay? We are going to look at the structural organization. We are going to look at the features. And of course, we're going to look at what made them to be referred to as acephalous. All right? These are our package for today. So do pay attention. All right. Now, it might interest you to understand that in the pre-colonial political administration of the East, there was no centralization of power. In fact, the political administration in pre-colonial Igbo land was decentralized. There were neither kings nor kingmakers, hence the institution of warring chiefs in the colonial era. Anyway, we shall come to that. But I just wanted guys to understand that there was no special place for people who are referred to as the kingmakers, though there were existence of king as at that time, but there was a term that was often used, Igbenweze. Okay? Though they have kings, but they were ceremonial kings. That is to say that they don't have the final say. I get what I'm saying? Now, the Igbos are believed to be democratic or republican, or the term acephalous, all right? Meaning that they don't allow one person to take charge of decision making. Okay. Now, it might interest you to understand that in the Igbo organization, democracy was also referred to as ohakarasi. That is the people's opinion. The people's opinion. Okay. Now, I want you to understand that in terms of decision making, the offer title holders, that is, they are among the council of elders, the other title holders, and the age grades, we are all involved in the power sharing exercise. No wonder then that the term acephalous was ascribed or used to describe the political organization of the Igbo political system. There was the absence of centralization of power and authority in Igbo political system. It was more of the people direct participation in their government, direct democracy. I think that is self-explanatory. You know, they didn't believe in one person being in charge of the affairs of the people. They believed that everybody's idea counted. And that was why they allowed even the age grades to take part in decision making. Now let's look at the structural organization of the Igbo political system. Okay? Now, we are going to take them one by one. Now let's look at the executive section. There were such institutions as village assembly, council of elders, or Amala. Are you getting it? There were such institutions like village assembly, Council of Elders, or Amala. Age grades of all titled men, diviners, priests of deities, etc. Now, these priests of different deities are also among the executive arm. They were used in the execution of state duties. The Igbo political system was often described as Republican because the citizen played major roles in decision making. Okay, are you getting it? In other words, decisions were first and foremost taken in the various families in the village assembly and finally taken to the town union. All right, now I think that is also very clear. They don't believe that one man has the final say. Now let's take our first step to the village assembly. At this level, all political and executive decisions were binding on all citizens. Hence, At this level, all political and executive decisions were binding on all citizens. Now, I want you to get something straight. Whenever an issue is discussed at the village assembly, whatever decision that was agreed upon is binding on all. So whoever that did not attend the meeting, it doesn't really matter. So long as people came out and unanimously agreed on a particular view, it will be binding on all. Is that okay? This was why the village assembly was also referred to as village democracy. The Amala or Ndichie, that is elder statesmen, often served as the mouthpiece of the assembly. Okay? They often serve as a mouthpiece of the assembly. Okay. Now, remember that the other titled men and the other title holders often are the elders, okay, that represent different families. All right? And, you know, among the other title holders, one of them was recognized as the most senior to others. And so was referred to as Opara. These Oparas are the ones that represent different families at the village assembly. Now let's look at the age grade. These were young men that belong to the same age group and they perform the following functions. We are looking at the functions of the age grade. Pay attention. They perform the following functions. Administration. They were involved in the administration of the village. Okay. Another function is performance of public duties. All right. They also maintain law and order. The age grade also implement policies made by the Council of Elders. Okay. Now let's look at the legislative arm. Remember, we have talked about the executive arm. Let's look at the legislative arm. The villagers made laws themselves, okay? And even the age grades can enact a law which the elders would accept. Remember that these age grades varied from different age brackets. So long as they are responsible men, okay? Decisions made by such people will be honored, even by the entire village. Now we have another arm, the judiciary arm, or the judiciary function. In this area, family heads settle disputes between families. Serious cases were referred to the Council of Elders, presided over by the Opara, and penalties were meted out to those who committed serious offenses like murder, stealing, etc. Now, in this regard, you know, it might interest you to understand that there are different punishments for different offenses. People are punished according to the kind of offense they committed. You know, you don't just punish people because you have powers. Then people were punished according to the kind of offense they committed. Okay? All right. Now, let's look at another structure, the also title holders. The also title holders. Some wealthy and influential men took this title, which was very expensive. This title makes the holder to be recognized in the society and could then preside over meetings on issues affecting the community with other elders. Now, remember that this title was a prestigious one. It wasn't given to any half persons. The people that were accorded these titles are those who had made names for themselves, who have, you know, great records. People have seen them to be upright, so to say. And so they are given such title. Okay? Now, it is very, very important for you to understand that the Igbo structure was not centralized. It was not centralized. And because of its non-centralization of power, we shall see by the time we get to colonial administration that it brought about a lot of problems to them. In fact, that was why the colonial masters introduced the warrant chiefs, which did not bring any positive results at the end of the day. Okay? It is also important for you to understand that because of its lack of centralization, the British could not really get to everybody at the same time. Remember and have it at the back of your mind that they had always had their kings, but the difference was that their kings never had a final say. Okay? Are you there? All right. Now, let's look at the features of the Igbo traditional society. The features of the Igbo traditional society. We have number one, religious and judicial powers. Religious and judicial powers. The village stroke priest or diviner wielded great deal of religious and judicial powers. Honestly, I must tell you that it depends from where you come from. If you are an Igbo, there is still this strong belief that a particular religion of the people guides them. And the priests or diviners also play a big role. If you watch some of these Nigerian movies and check out their settings, those of them who have this traditional setting where the chief priest is expected to come out and say the truth, you find out that whenever the chief priest comes out to say whatever, people will accept, all right? Because they believe that the presence of the chief priest represents the gods. The number two is leadership. Leadership is number two feature. Succession to leadership and to prominence was based on personal achievements. Succession to leadership and to prominence was based on personal achievements. Okay. Now, people are not selected to do a particular thing just because they are old. No. First of all, they will check out the person's profile and what exactly has that person achieved as a person. If the person has not achieved anything, I bet you, no particular position will be given to such person. We have the third one, bonds and unity. The third feature is bonds and unity. Deities are of political significance in providing bonds of unity. Deities are of political significance in providing bonds of unity. Now, different villages have different stories of deities that were there to protect the village. Sometimes you hear stories from your parents telling us that this village is older than the other village. This other village is just like that. And they'll tell you that they are all from one deity, believing that that deity, you know, protects the village. Though in our Christian religion, Christianity does not, you know, support such belief. But I want you to understand that it was one of the things that existed as at that time. Okay? All right. Now let's go to the fourth one. The fourth one is Market Square. The fourth one is Market Square. It served as the village chambers. It served as the village chambers. Now, even in our today's society, those villages that are yet to get their town hall, you know, build their town hall, are still having their meetings at the Market Square. Okay? It is also serving as a place of assembly till date. Now, the villages that are no longer using the Market Square must have gotten a place to have their meetings, like town halls. You can ask your grandpas or probably your dads, you know, whenever you get home. Ask them where the village, your village elders have their meetings. But whether they have meetings, of course, they do have meetings. Okay. Now let's look at socio-political group. Socio-political group. The women, Umada, comprised of the first daughter of each family, constituted a socio-political group. Honestly, this is a very powerful group, the Umadas. And from my dialect, we'll call them Umumboto. Okay? They are very powerful. You don't mess around with them. And any issue they fail to settle, that issue will be something else. The Umumboto or Umada, as the case may be, are very, very, very powerful because they have lots and lots of respect coming from their Umunna. And so whenever they want to handle issues, people do listen to them. Now, the next point, another feature is banishment. Banishment. You know, banishment here means sending one away from his original place of birth. Okay? Sending someone away from his or her original place of birth. Now, banishment from the village and escort of such people into the evil forest was the maximum judicial punishment. Now, I want you to get something straight. No one banishes anyone who has not committed any offense. People are only being banished when they must have done something terrible. Okay? Depends on the custom and tradition of a particular village. But all I know is that oftentimes people are, you know, asked to appease the gods of the land if they go contrary to the law. But this banishment stuff, I don't know if it's still existing right now, but during that period, I think it comes as a last resort. Probably when the gods refuse to be appeased, the person will be sent out of the land. And the term used for such is banishment. Okay. Now, the last but not the least is the New Yam Festival. The New Yam Festival. It is still being practiced here today. The New Yam Festival, this was religiously marked, honored, and celebrated annually. This was religiously marked, honored, and celebrated annually. You might want to know that the idea of such celebration was because they want to be thankful to the Ahajoko, the gods that makes the land to yield. You know, that make them, the Ahajoku is the one that make them have a bountiful harvest. And because they usually have a bountiful harvest, they want to be thankful. And being thankful here means that the gods will surely bless them the next time they farm. So it becomes very important for them to be thankful to these gods. Okay. Now, I think this is where we're going to draw the curtain for today. You know, I want you to check out the legislative functions, executive and judiciary functions of the North and the East. Compare both of them and see the differences. Okay? And I can assure you this is very interesting. And the opportunity we have to do this topic is for us to understand that we should not listen to the negative things we heard from the colonial masters, that the people were lawless, okay? That is to tell you that they were not lawless. They had a system of, they had a political system. Okay? All right. Wish to come your way very soon. Take care.